And let me know when you're live. And
We are live.
All right, with that, I will call the CTAC committee meeting of Wednesday, September 20th, 2023 to order. Roll call. Chair Sanchin?
Here.
Kevin Thompson?
Here.
Stephen Silverman?
Present.
You have a plan. Thank you. And next, can I ask for any public comments on items not on the agenda? I'm not seeing any in the room. Is there any online?
No, there is not.
Okay, I'll close that item and ask for approval of meeting minutes from August 16th, 2023. Are there any comments or discussion on this?
Move to approve.
And secondly, by Ron, can I ask for a roll vote? Chair Sanchin?
Aye.
Kevin Thompson?
Yes.
Stephen Silverman?
Yes.
Jenny Garcia?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you. Next, can we get the executive director report?
Thank you, Chair Spentrum. It's been a really busy month, a really busy time of year at the CDC here. We had until last Friday two RFPs open for project-based vouchers. One of them closed on Friday. The other is still open. We have project-based vouchers that are specific to permanent supportive housing. I believe that's the RFP that closed on Friday. And the RFP that's still open is project-based vouchers, and there is some preference for some extra points for homeless serving project-based vouchers. So Martha and her team have really been cracking on that. If you have projects in your jurisdiction that might be looking for project-based vouchers, make sure that they're aware of it and get their applications in before the deadline. The housing voucher lottery is about to open on October 1st, and it'll be open for a month through October 3rd. Time. How many months did it take to get through the 500?
I think it was about 19, 20 months. So that's why we upped it to 750.
So as you can see, we have a very ambitious housing authority, and my hat is really off to the great work that they do. We have an RFP out to get bids for the demolition at Tierra de Rosas, a project that we thought was nearly dead 6 months ago. A lot of miracles have happened, and the demolition is expected to start before the end of the year, which means the backbone infrastructure is starting before the end of the year. And I can't tell you how much hustle that takes from staff to move along on that timeline. So we're just cranking on all cylinders here, and staff might look a little tired because of it, but I think we're really proud of our work product. Speaking of work product, one of the more fun things that we get to do is go to ribbon cuttings, and there have been several since the last time we all got together. I think the Randall up in Healdsburg was the most recent, and I'm really excited that more of the CDC staff is getting out to these ribbon cuttings. That's where your sales get filled with wind, because you see what all of this time we spend behind our computers really accomplishes. Let's see what else. We're updating our mobile home rent stabilization ordinance. That'll be going to the Board of Supervisors on October 24th, looking to more closely align it with some of the revisions that have happened in county in city jurisdictions within the county recently. Rhonda's team keeps pushing the rock up the hill on our Project Home Key projects. They're not easy projects. And on top of all of these other things, really a heavy lift, sorely needed permanent supportive housing, and worth the effort. We have there was no Bay Area Housing Finance Authority meeting last month in August, so nothing exciting to report other than, and this isn't an agenda item, we won't spend a lot of time on it, but we did talk about some of the the narrative we were hearing out of the mayors and council members meeting, fear of the unknown more than anything. How, assuming BAFA passes the $20 billion bond, how are the those proceeds going to be divided up? And we're far from knowing the answer to that question. I talked about objective criteria we might use. It's not decided that that's the direction it's going, because we haven't, as a group, and as a larger group than this, talked about what that might look like. But just for fun, I did some number crunching to show you per jurisdiction what your REDA allocations look like for very low, low, and moderate income, and above moderate, as a percentage of the total, as well as what your population share looks like as a percentage of the total. So I'm going to pass these around. There are some on the back table for anybody who wants to have a copy from the public. And I think we'll be discussing different criteria that might include something like this, or might include things that come up as we go through an iterative process to talk about an expenditure plan. And then, I should have also acknowledged what a heavy lift the CAPER is that will be presented today, as well as the funding policies. There's a lot of staff time, a lot of sweat and tears, hopefully no blood, involved in bringing these things to you today. And then finally, I'm going to turn it over to Rhonda to share some sad news from the CDC guideline.
Sad news indeed. One of our shining stars and beloved colleagues at the CDC organization, Maria Contreras, passed away on September 9th, just recently, surrounded by her loved ones. She passed away unexpectedly, only a few short months after learning of her illness, leaving everyone unprepared for this untimely loss. She leaves behind her family, her husband, and her three children, and many friends, family members, and colleagues. Maria started with the CDC in 2019, working in our affordable housing division, managing loan transactions for the construction of new affordable housing, among many other important functions. Many of you might recall her making presentations to your committees for the County Fund for Housing or the PLHA funding awards each year. She had a genuine passion and commitment for serving others, and she was an extremely supportive colleague here. She leaves some big shoes to fill, and I'm very grateful for the staff that have stepped up to help support her role during this time. With Michelle's support, we were able to bring in a grief counselor and held a group grief session for our organization. And we are planning to hold a remembrance of Maria in the future.
Thank you. My regards to all staff and what affects you all. I do have one question. You said you had a couple of, or the one RFP that was closed. Do you know how many responses you got? Are you able to share that?
Yeah, 4.
And then for the project vouchers, I do want to thank you. I know Willow reached out to me as the city to ask us who the right staff member was, so that we can get those. I'm assuming she did the other cities as well, so that we can help advertise that project voucher information. So once we get that information, we'll be ready to add that. And I did see the Pier 5 newsletter, e-newsletter, has already has a note about that in the flyer for that. So thank you for that. Making sure we're all aware of them.
And just to clarify, you're talking about housing vouchers, and
yes,
that you're saying project.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. That is where I am not a. This is why we have you guys. The expert on this topic. But yes, the housing vouchers. Any other?
We're in Cloverdale going to be re-amending our mobile home stabilization ordinance, but we are also interested in having contracting with the CDC to conduct the hearings that are required sometimes when the owners want to raise the rates above the CPI typically. So, and when I worked in Windsor, I know we had a contract, and a couple of times we had some hearings here that were held. I think there's a guy named Ray here who's, I've been talking to him, so just so you know, we're interested, so hopefully we have capacity to do that.
And we usually refer to Ray as the man, the myth, the legend. But very interesting in having that conversation, potentially setting that up.
Yeah, and first of all, I just want to extend my sincerest condolences, you know, losing Maria. I heard about that earlier this month, and my heart just broke because she's such a light and such a pleasure to work with. And, you know, when we were trying to get our Cal Home loans all in order and figure out what was what, because all of those originated with the CDC, then got transferred to Runner Park years ago. You know, she was such an integral part of unwinding all of that and figuring all the pieces. So, you know, just wanted to extend my heartfelt condolences to all of you and appreciation for picking up those pieces. I did have one question about the housing voucher lottery. Yeah, so I know we'd love to help get the word out to the community. I'm wondering, you know, Martha, you already have some social media language that you all plan to use that we could snag and put on our channels.
Okay. Happy to share it.
That would be wonderful. Saves us a little bit of time and keeps everything consistent.
Yeah. And if you could send that out to a couple seed types, I'm sure we can be able to write.
Yeah, we will.
Right, if it's not us, we can do it.
We were going to wait until like the end of next week to actually start pushing it out on social media, just to help avoid the confusion since it doesn't actually open until the first. But I'll get that to you later this week.
Thank you. Also, would like to offer my condolences. I enjoyed working with Maria, and she definitely will be missed. And that's a tough thing to deal with. And I appreciate everybody here. And we all do such great work. It's sad that we have to remember it at the end and don't see it through the entire time. So, but you know, my condolences. And also, I just wanted to say that on next Tuesday, we will be hosting an employer housing forum. At the city of Healdsburg with our Chamber of Commerce. And Michelle graciously agreed to be a speaker at that. We also have Larry Foran, Michael Paytock will be there as well. And Griselda, I'm forgetting the last panel, Jim Hyde from Craftworks will be also on that panel. But this is a great opportunity to get the word out about the vouchers. So any information that we have, happy to push it out to our cities. Thank you.
Any public comment on this item? Which would be a time for any CBC members who might have questions on the format.
I'll just do public comment. I just echo what everyone else says about how that affects the workplace when you lose a partner. We had that happen here too. Valerie might remember. We had somebody pass away overnight. Martha was here at that time. It's very shocking and very disruptive, and I'm really sad for her family. So, you know, I'm just... best wishes to everybody.
And I'll echo those comments.
Under public comment, as chair of the CD committee, I would offer our condolences to the family and to the staff who sadly missed this individual. And while we can't take any formal action under public comment, an appropriate time. I hope that the committee will be able to do something more formally. Thank you.
Matthew, do you have any public comment?
We do not at this time.
So I'll close public comment on that item and move to the public hearing, which is the fiscal year 2022-23 consolidated annual performance and evaluation report, often known as the paper.
Good morning. I have a lot of information for you today, so I'm going to probably be reading a lot of it. Okay. Each year, 90 days after the close of the fiscal year, HUD requires submission of the consolidated annual performance evaluation report, otherwise known as the CAPER. The CAPER tells HUD what accomplishments we received from July 1st to June 30th with the federal funding we received. In order for the accomplishments to be reported on a project, funds must be fully spent, project beneficiaries need to be received and input into, and the project must be closed out in IDIS prior to June 30th. IDIS, which stands for integrated disbursement and information system is a nationwide database which provides HUD with current information regarding the program activities underway across the nation, including funding data. HUD uses this information to report to Congress and to monitor grantees. This is the third paper reporting on the 5-year platform. The report elements include the services we provided, units built or rehabilitated, and the people that were assisted. Sometimes a project is completed in one fiscal year, but not completed closed out into the next fiscal year, so you may see a project reported later than its actual completion. Next slide. In fiscal year 22-23, the beneficiaries that were assisted consisted of 86% white, 6% black or African American, 6% American Indian or African Native, 1% Asian, and 1% Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islanders. Of these beneficiaries, 67% reported being non-Hispanic and 33% were reported as Hispanic. Next slide. In fiscal year 22-23, the funds spent by the CDC were $1.9 million in CDG funds, $558,000 in home funds, $173,000 in ESG, $3.9 million was spent by the COC, and $41 million in secondary companies. Next slide. For the affordable housing accomplishments, two home units were completed at Big Three Studios in Healdsburg, and two homeowner rehabilitation loans were completed. Over 3,100 households received Section 8 sanitary rental assistance, and 121 project group vouchers came into effect. The federal ESB funds awarded to Catholic Charities served 250 households, and throughout all of the homeless service funding, which includes state and local funding, 4,389 households were served through coordinated entry. Some of those served were placed in shelters, and approximately 570 were permanently housed. One capital project in West County was completed, and three are currently underway throughout the county. 305 individuals were assisted with the two fair housing programs funded by the CDC. Okay, this slide shows a breakdown of the affordable housing accomplishments by year for the first 3 years of our consolidated plan and also our 5-year plan or goals. Some numbers may differ with the action plan goals because the IDA system used in reporting the HUD categorizes goals, and some of the accomplishments were not associated with a plan goal. At this time, we have fully allocated all the funds that were previously awarded in ineligible projects or projects that did not move forward, and the accomplishments will be reported in future years. The initial goal of 3,000 that was entered in our 5-year comp plan for tenant-based rental systems, we believe was incorrect and should have been 300 and cannot be adjusted. Currently, we have one project with over 190 households served, which will be completed within the next few months, and these will be reported on next year's paper. Next slide. The Rapid Rehousing Funds for Homelessness are currently funded and in progress, and accomplishments will be reported in future years. The shelter goal, again, was incorrectly entered in the comp plan. It cannot be adjusted. We believe this should have been 1,000, because as you can see, it's roughly 250 individuals are assisted yearly. Other non-federal funding sources were used for the homeless prevention projects in the past 2 years, but we will have accomplishments to report by the end of this fiscal year. Next slide. Two of the infrastructure projects currently underway were affected by the heavy rains during the winter, and they had to push their completion dates back after June 30th. One project is now complete, and the other will be complete before the end of November. You'll see these accomplishments on next year's paper as well. In addition to these two projects, there's one currently underway in Sabbatical, and several others are getting ready to proceed. Some of the projects completed in IDIS cannot feed into the tables in the paper because they're not associated with the plan goal. For instance, 371 individuals were served at Caritas Center under the public facilities goal.
bringing this 2022 accomplishment to 1831. And this was corrected in the caper narrative from the original 1460. And as you can see, we are doing very well at accomplishing our 5-year goals for these two activities. And I just want to remind you that there were multiple obstacles that staff and our community partners have worked through since 5-year con plan was submitted in 2019, including a pandemic, high staff turnover at the commission that has now been stabilized, supply chain issues, labor shortages, and fire and weather-related factors that slowed our progress in achieving our goal. To get the funds moving, the commission held 2 funding cycles last year to allocate all remaining funds. The projects funded are progressing, are all progressing. Our team meets with our HUD rep on a monthly basis, and they are aware of the comp plan goals and accomplishments and how we are progressing towards them. Didn't memorize all that, sorry.
Appreciated. Questions from the CPAC?
What do the numbers under the public facility and public service activities, the goal numbers, what do they correlate with? Like the 50,000?
It's usually the census tract that they're located in and the amount of either Roma individuals or disabled. So
that's people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And you talked about the capital projects. Can you just name them just so we understand which ones are?
Hillsburg just recently completed the sidewalk project. So that was one that got delayed by the rain, as well as Maxwell Farms in Sonoma. They're also having back order part issues. So they had to ask for another extension. So they should be done by November 30th.
And this project is at the
I just have a request. It's a lot easier to follow kind of the high points and the PowerPoint than to try to find it all in the body of the paper, which I know is HUD's format. So I have a request. Can you share the PowerPoint with the committees? Because I would like to be able to report back to my leadership on this. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to read the whole thing.
It's pretty dry.
It is a dry.
Any other comments, discussion, questions from the CPAC? I will go to public comments. And so this will be the opportunity for anyone on the CPAC as a public to either ask questions, which will address after public comment, or have any thoughts on this.
Through the chair, public comment is not ordinarily a dialogue, and we are happy as staff to respond to questions individually after the meeting, but invite any comments you want to make, and they could be questions, it's just that they might not get answered.
Yes, but the chair, I would pass on the comments or questions to be answered to staff. That's for my chair, Jordan. just to coordinate that. Mr.
Yeah, under public comment, if we were under normal conditions, we would be asked, as with the CD committee, do we accept its report? And having read the report and listened to the presentation, I believe that would occur. The question is, and do we have to have a special meeting of the CD committee meeting to accept this report at some time in the future? That's my public comment.
Thank you. Other public comments?
Chris. I forwarded a few questions I had earlier in the week, and just wanted to follow up with them. One question at the bottom of page 4 in the paper on the topic about housing rehab, I noted that the narrative said that the CDC did not meet its action plan goals, but is on track to exceed the 2023-2024 goals. And it seems like there's a big gap between where we are now and what that goal is. And I just want to make sure that expectation that we'll be on, that we are on track and that we'll reach the goal is accurate. That's one question. Just below that same section at the very bottom of page 4, there's a similar comment about infrastructure replacement, that we exceeded the action plan goals, but the number in the table, and it could be that the earlier slides you showed help address that, because it's very helpful to show the prior year's progress on these. That's very helpful. I just wanted to double check that in the CAPR report itself, 1,460 residents out of a target of 3,000 appear to have been benefited in the CAPR, but it seems like there's still a big gap. So I just want to double check the accuracy. I do think that we're there based on the numbers you showed earlier. So, and then on page 7, under CR15, resources and investment in the table 3, only 50% of home funds appear to have been spent out of the little over $1 billion available for the fiscal year. And I'm just wondering if there's an opportunity or whether the narrative should reflect why there's a difference between what was available and what was actually dispersed or spent. And the last point I have is under minority business enterprises and women business enterprises, home contracts, on page 12 and table 8, you see a lot of zeros. And I'm just thinking this must be or could be a great opportunity area, but not only for community development, but for CLC and other activities targeting these vulnerable populations.
I would like to, I came up with the same concern that you did, Chris, I think, if we get a copy of the slide, too pretty quickly, I'd like to be able to tie those out to the table that it is in the narrative here. While it did say, we were on track, I didn't really find specifics going along about how all this is going to be made up in year 4 of a 5-year plan. So it would be good at some time in the future to just kind of align, and maybe I don't understand the columns, but it says actual strategic plan, expected strategic plan, and there's just like a ton of zeros going down this chart. You get to kind of take what you've done here and kind of come back with that at a future meeting so we can kind of align those things together.
Other public comment? Members or on Zoom, Matthew?
And right now there are no public comments on this.
Okay, so I will close.
Can I extend my comment just for 1 moment?
I will
allow
that, yes.
Just want the staff to know, I recognize what an enormous amount of work goes into this kind of a project, and I really appreciate the thoroughness and the transparency in bringing this forward, especially within a timely way. So very, very supportive and I'm pleased with the overall report.
Any other public
comments?
Okay, I will go ahead and close the public hearing and bring it back for committee discussion. There were a couple of questions from the public, so maybe not to get verify. Are you able to address the question about whether or not this hearing will suffice? And when there's a special meeting, this will suffice. Yeah, so no, okay, excellent. And then do you have any thoughts on the goals and getting on track?
A lot of our goals, like I said, the projects are proceeding now, so we've been pushing the money out. We're talking to our HUD rep every month. So I see a lot of our goals being met within the next 2 years. The housing, the affordable housing home projects, those take a long time, but they are working through progress.
Right, and assuming that why the home funding is
Yeah, that's why.
Coming from a small community where basically one project allows us to meet our whole low, very low arena. But what happens, it looks weird, Deborah. I totally understand that. I think that was it. I think the others were more comments than questions. Are there any other follow-up questions or discussion from the committee?
It's like a lot of work.
And I would echo that. I know how these things are put together, and I very much appreciate the work that went into that.
I just have one follow-up question, because there is increasingly more HUD funding that's going to homelessness. And obviously there's HUD funding that goes directly to the COC, and then there's HUD funding that goes to the CDC and of course CDBG home and ESG. I know that the COC board isn't the citizen advisory committee for paper and, you know, the action plan, but what efforts are being made or will be made to just make that body aware of the outcomes as they make their funding decisions? Because I know something that they're doing for them is seeing the full picture of funding.
We published this, but we certainly, I think you raise a good point, and we certainly could find an opportunity to share some of the accomplishments with them.
Yeah. They do, well, this year, I'm not sure about next year, but they did have input into data. So, yeah, Michael and his team emailed them a lot.
I figured, and obviously there's some stuff that comes from the homeless management information software system, HMIS and security. Do you know if Michael and his team are keeping the COC board, the funding and evaluation committee, aware of these outcomes? Because sometimes there's a lot of work that happens, and you know, the board doesn't always have this information that they're making funding decisions. My comment then would be that I think that's this will be, you know, this has been a consistent comment, you know, that it's really important, and I realize it's an extra step, but it's important that that board is aware of anything related to homelessness, you know, so they can have a full picture of the funding that touches homelessness, you know, when they're making their funding decisions.
Well, we do meet with the homeless team once a month. So we do discuss what our findings.
Great. Thank you. I echo Jenna's comments. I actually want to thank this CDC. I think I have seen a big change in the amount of coordination between those two groups. I really appreciate that, because our citizens and our community don't see the difference between them. They just kind of like all work together. And I think it's a big challenge given the different funding and the different mandates. But many of my students are asking about Project Homekeep, and it's the CDBG stuff that you're projects that are going on. So we appreciate that. There is no motion needed for this. So I can get to that for the report. Okay. So we do have another public hearing, and this is a hearing on the fiscal year 2024-2025 federal funding policies. Can we get the staff a presentation?
Everyone.
Before you start, may I ask, will this it's going to require a special meeting of the CDC to adopt policies on their side? And have you noted?
Even the question, I think it's in your will.
Will it require? No, we can move these forward, but as a courtesy, we can bring it back to the CD committee next month for an action.
So this is recommended, yeah, and our request of action is to recommend the supervisor stuff to action decision. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Presenting on the follow-up for the funding policy, which I presented to the meetings last time. Next slide. Once again, tying back our funding policies, they support the goal of the priority needs at the top end, affordable housing, homelessness, and non-housing community development. Some of the revisions that staff talked about in our last meeting was including the home park and program into the policies. There was some clarification in the ESG section regarding funding caps. So we talked about clarification of the using awards to fund NEPA projects. So we provided clarification of the indirect costs They are not going to be permitted. I mean, they added that condition. Next slide. We included information about BABA, the winner of the Hawaii Marathon. Also clarified the consultation process with our POC board. Regarding ESPN and the funds, there were some revisions made to the guidelines methodology. And of course, the CDBG addendum was removed because all of those funds were allocated in this way. And that was the fix of full mark. There was some changes that the committees requested, and we did add a preference to the homeless related projects so that it aligns with the goals of the COC's strategic plan. And there was some more text added in section 7.3 regarding reimbursement or possible reimbursement of expenses for home funded projects that meet certain criteria for their NEPA. And section 7.22 was added regarding the living children's at the company tax. The recommendation for the committee is that we look in an approval to the Board of Supervisors and the Board of Commissioners. And the Board of Commissioners is actually to follow the link of the living map box, which is the problem. Any questions?
You want me to, you can say that for, I'll say it. Discussion. Yeah. Then I'll open the public hearing. But comment? Chris?
I just wanted to do double check if the discussion at our last meeting that was raised by Nikki about prioritizing or showing some preference for projects that include kind of that social support work, if that's been incorporated, because it wasn't easy for me to find that. That's my only comment or question.
I had the same question. I did a compare between the two documents, and I couldn't really see that as a call out. Is that what you're intending by more with a strategic plan because it's called out there? Or so I
love both. Yeah, we'll go through the chairs since they're technically the public. Yeah.
Any other public
comment? Mm-hmm.
No.
Anyone in the audience or Zoom?
No Zoom comment.
Okay. I will close the public comment and bring it back to the CTAC, but I will ask the question about that priority and perhaps maybe I
need to. Sure, but we can capture in that preference, I talked about the goals, aligning the projects or activities with projects and activities that align with the goals and the COC strategic plan. But a lot of our programs already allow ISET eligible activities, and what we would like to do, the CDC staff would like to bring forward information, not information, but information in the NOFA about these types of activities, and then we have second bullet question that we have. Any other questions?
So that would be section 10.1, selection criteria, all projects and the funding priorities. Is that where that would be? I mean, I see that's where you have the.
I think I follow them. So some of it, once again, can be captured under section 2, because I think that's where we added the facts that talked about giving preference to projects that align with the COC's finals. But then, because the law programs are allowed these types of activities, we will bring forward information about that in the NOFA.
And
I
guess, yeah, no. I'm actually looking at section 10.1, plant one funding priorities. Projects will be evaluated and help with any funding priorities according to the development funding source, creation of affordable housing, infrastructure, supporting affordable housing, but infrastructure is then no model in populations. And then the last quote says promote effective improvement strategies for homelessness prevention. And then you're going to kind of wide and the line with the continuum of course, which is time for this.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you could add in to be a little bit more specific, given the pretty lengthy conversation we had last time. There's thoughts on the feedback numbers on that.
Any breakthrough for the
Or I mean, would that be an appropriate section since that's where it says and I have to continue the very strategic plan goals? This includes something like innovative solutions that promote self-sufficiency. And I mean, I'm not sure exactly how to phrase that, but it feels like there should be maybe something going really, because no offense, but could align with continuum of care strategic plan goals.
If I may clarify,
it feels like it's going to get lost.
Yeah, and if I can clarify at the last meeting, there were two topics. One, there was talk about having the preference for the social impact, the clients, but also there was the self-sustaining organization so that they're financially self-sustaining as well. I think that was a separate topic. And for that one, we are in the process of changing our applications, updating our questions in the applications. We already have some questions that surround that topic of self-sustaining organizations, but we are going to clarify and have that question in there. And so that will be added in the application, and then it could also be added in the staff report. And so the community has to also read it in the staff report that accompany each of the applications, because if you recall, there's a memo that we prepare, and then at the attachment, there's the individual staff reports that are presented in the application.
And I think I'm glad that it's being put into the application. I am just putting that on the backside, that you make it clear that that's a priority within the selection criteria. So as we're going through the selection process, that we're clear that that's really something we're looking for.
They will show their supportive services plan in conjunction with the units that they're building, or at least put an emphasis on that, right?
Yeah, are they doing job development? Are they doing self-sufficiency measures, things like that, that would help the community development of the individuals? And exactly sure how to fix that. I don't know staff has many suggestions on them.
What do you think adding? You
can add it without having to read it into the record.
Okay.
So I would that as something to add. I don't think there are any questions from
thank you for incorporating, I think in both section 2 and section 10, aligning with the strategic plan for everything that's homeless services. I think that's super important. Again, I'm going to keep banging that drum because I think it's absolutely integral to ensuring that we can actually address homelessness and, how the homelessness can be well coordinated. The other section I had provided some comments on in the last meeting, which I don't see changes reflected here, and I'm going to advocate very strongly for, is in 8.2.2, which is consultation with the continuum of care. Right now, that section is consultation with the continuum of care for ESG and Living Hub funds. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that CDBG and HOME can also be used for homelessness, and HOME ARPA will be exclusively for homelessness. So my request, and I'll see if there's backup here with the CTAC, is that this section should be revised to be consultation with continuum of care for any projects serving people experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness.
Having just my comment, and I appreciate that having served on the continuum of care board and being on the CDBG CV funding committee, which I think turned into the funding and evaluation committee, I have to say that the evolution of that sharing of the information on all these funding sources has improved remarkably. And getting that global picture of all the funding sources, because a lot of times you get members on the COC that maybe don't look into the housing side and forget that there's home funds, there's CDBG, and all these things. One example is the Victory Studios is a home-funded renovation of supportive housing units. And where I think that policy that you're mentioning that's very good is I didn't have to tell you what supportive services were involved in that when I applied for it. And I think that's really important that you're giving me money to renovate units for supportive housing. You also want to know that I'm going to give you the services for supportive housing. And while we mentioned that Reach for Home would be doing that, we didn't get into the detail of it. And I think that's really important for the COC to see is how these are being leveraged.
I think that information, you know, we don't want to be overly prescriptive on saying that everything has to go to the COC because we know that time can be. But just that the ability to put it through the funding and evaluation committee is important because we don't capture everything that we're doing around homelessness and supportive housing because they're spread out through so many different areas. So I commend that that is part of it now. I really do appreciate that. And so I'm also in support of what Jenna had to say about, and you know, what her comments were as well. So if that, you know, motion, I'd be in support of it. Or if we need a motion, I'm not even sure.
We do need a motion. Okay. I'm happy to try to meet.
Okay.
I do this for red wine and Christian all the time. I am going to move that we approve the fiscal year 2024-25 federal funding policies with the following amendments. The section 8.2.2 reference for ESG and Mondale funds to read for funding of any projects addressing homelessness, and add the section 10.1 that projects and services that emphasize work skill development and toward self-sufficiency of residents are encouraged. It's in the selection priority for prioritize. So yeah.
And can I ask a clarifying question on that motion, just to make sure we're on the same page? Are we interested in self-sufficiency, promoting self-sufficiency of the clients served in these programs, or of the programs themselves? Because what Stephen, I think, was talking about is the programs are internally funded for services, not that the individual service programs are being expected to become self-sufficient.
I think it should be both. Yeah. Actually, is there a second to the original discussion and maybe modify the motion to get open?
I'm not comfortable seconding with promoting that we're trying to make the individual self-sufficient. It's nice as that sounds, it actually is counterproductive to the goals of prioritizing people who are most vulnerable, which is what a lot of projects are doing right now for homelessness. So having the agencies be sufficient, you know, have sufficient services to serve the people and programs, absolutely, I'm on board with that. But trying to prioritize projects that are serving less vulnerable people, which is inadvertently what we would be saying by trying to promote self-sufficiency, that's not trying to promote self-sufficiency of the clients themselves. You know, that's not something I can personally get on board with.
Could I make a suggestion on language for that? Is that if we keep both, we could maybe say that provide programs that have a pathway towards self-sufficiency. That would make a huge difference.
I have another alternative, which is, because I understand what Jenna's saying, projects and services that emphasize self-sufficiency of agencies and or life skills for residents.
Yes, I'm comfortable with life skills.
Yeah. Okay, then less go get a job and more life skills.
Yeah, like if a step to
even self-sufficiency or independence is a reasonable goal, there's like these.
Okay.
So if there is no second for it, then I'll just remake the motion. I'm hearing a second, so I will try a new motion. I have written down, I think if it's, I will read it slowly. So I will try another motion, which is to approve the fiscal year 24-25 federal funding policies with the following amendments. 8.2.2. Remove ESG and funding reference, and instead add any projects addressing homelessness. 1.1, add a bullet that states projects and services could emphasize self-sufficiency of agencies, life skills for residents will be prioritized. All right, I mean, have a second. Any further discussion? That's why we're all here.
Yeah.
Oh, Okay, and no further discussion. Can I get a roll of vote?
There's Evan Thompson?
Yes.
Stephen Sotomayor?
Yeah.
And Jenny Gerstein?
Yeah.
Motion passes.
One last statement. I would like to really appreciate our shared experience and the conversation, individual member of the CDC and the discussion with that brought out and the change company that we made. I want to appreciate that again. No, just not there. our last item is item that board members would like placed on the future agenda. And I want to ask if you'd like some sort of mobile home or safe mobile home.
Maybe in the director's report, this is updated on your progress on the new mobile home stabilization ordinance, potentially the added service or the hearings for the increase in the plus.
Yeah, or support for cities. I can report the cities of Gospel last night. The second thing adopted the mobile home stabilization or stabilization. They just did it with stakeholders and then the two almost hearings at council. Any other items? Okay, with that, I will adjourn this tech meeting of September 20th.
And Matthew, I'm
sorry. Yeah, it's hard.